Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
About this time last week, there was one defining moment in my next guest's life, as 2.65 million people looked on. Kate Brax won MasterChef with dishes like stuffed lamb cutlet, raspberry and white chocolate pudding, and the defining dish, roasted garlic custard. Kate's faith, Christian faith, is well known, so I thought how good it would be to get her on Open House tonight, because she was a bit busy last week, and see what this past week has been like. Kate joins us now from her home at Orange in the central west of New South Wales. Kate, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure, Lee. Good to talk to you.
In the midst of this whirlwind.
Yeah, it is a bit of a whirlwind. Yeah.
Can I first ask you this? Is it possible to put into a form of words what it was like to stand there just before the announcement and what that one moment of the winning was like?
It's actually really difficult to put into words. Yeah. I suspected it was coming with each nine that came out, and so inside I could feel this tension rising up my body. And when it was announced, I actually had this little head spin. You could have knocked me over with a feather. I had never experienced anything like it before in my life. And I think it all just started to dawn on me then that life was never going to be the same again.
Yes. Quite a weighty thing, I'd imagine.
Yeah, in lots of ways. There's a huge responsibility that comes with the title. And it was something that I never expected when I entered the competition. And so while it was a long process and obviously I had time to get used to the idea, I think it was still a big surprise, still a big shock that I'd actually done it.
Yep. So what's this past week been like post the big announcement?
The only word I can use to describe it is crazy. Yeah. And I've been inundated with lots of lovely emails and texts and phone calls, and amidst all that, had a lot of interviews with print media and radio and TV, and it's just surreal, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Exhausting?
It is very exhausting.
Yes.
I'm a people person. I love people and I love talking to people. But the sheer numbers that I've been dealing with over the last week have, helped me to sleep very well at night.
Which is why I'm so glad you've joined us. Whose idea was it and when was it that this whole MasterChef thing began?
Well, for me, I've been a big fan of Series 1 and Series 2. I've always watched it avidly and had a big party on that finale night. And so I suppose in the back of my mind, I'd always thought, oh, it could be something fun to do one day. And when they were calling for the applications for third season, I didn't actually think I'd go through with it, but I started filling it out. And then I got to the end and I just said to my husband, guess I should press send? He goes, oh, well, why not? What can happen? And so I pressed send, expecting that absolutely nothing would come of it. And I actually prayed as I pressed send. I said, God, do with this as you will, and fully expected that that would be the end of it.
Be careful what you ask for.
Be careful what you pray.
When they said, yeah, you're in, how'd you feel then? Were you daunted? Were you fearful?
I was actually
ecstatic?
Really daunted. I didn't actually accept it straight away. They offered it to me, and I said to them, I'm going to have to think about this and talk about it with my husband.
Yes.
And I came home and I said to Luke, I can't do this. I've got kids. I've got you. I've got commitments. And he was the one that actually said to me, why can't you? Of course you can. Single parents do it all the time. We'll be fine. You're coming back. And then he'd finished with, aren't you?
Because it's a big hole out of his life and out of your three kids' lives.
It's been an enormous commitment for them. And
yes.
I think we were probably a little bit naive as to how enormous it would be when we first started on that journey. But I am in awe of all that he and the kids have done to support me and encourage me to do this.
Has it been a good thing for all of them?
Look, it actually has. It's certainly been a difficult thing at times, but I think the children have learnt a lot of resilience and flexibility. And I think the beautiful thing for me is that they've actually seen, particularly the older two because they understand it more, they've actually seen that sometimes God asks us to do things that come at a cost, but that can still doesn't mean that we don't do it. We can go forward, pay the cost, and God will use it for his glory.
What a wonderful perspective.
Yeah.
Three questions. High point, happiest point, and lowest point about MasterChef. I think I know the high one. So give us the happiest point and the lowest point.
Okay, yeah, definitely a high point was the winning.
Yes.
Happiest point was definitely when my family came on set. I was so incredibly appreciative of of them being there because they now have a bit of a framework to understand what I've been through. And when we talk about it, they understand it. So yes. That was definitely happiest point. Lowest point was actually probably when Rachel left the competition. She was the other mum in the competition. So she was the other person that understood what it was like for me being away from my family. And, you know, you never stop being a mum. Even when you're in the throes of a competition, you're still thinking, oh, I wonder how Liam's going with the soccer game, or I wonder how, you know, May is going with the swimming lessons, or whatever it was.
Yes.
And so when she left, I did actually feel quite lonely at that point in not having anybody else around that fully grasped that.
Yes. Kate, as I said, your Christian faith is well known, and you've spoken about that so openly. Was that a kind of grounding thing for you in the midst of what I imagine is an entirely dizzying experience?
Absolutely, 100%. That was the thing that grounded me. When I first entered the competition, I think I felt, I really did have a strong feeling that God was a big part of it. And so for me, it was always coming back to God is in control, He's in charge. And no matter how scared I feel or how nervous I feel, you know, at the end of the day, He's the one in charge of this. And so there was definitely great comfort I had in that. I think as well, as a Christian, you have a different perspective on all these types of things. At the end of the day, it's just food.
Yes.
It's just a competition. It's just TV.
It's just TV. You bet. You didn't pray that you'd win.
Absolutely not. Okay. I don't know that God really cares about winning and those kinds of things.
See, that's perspective.
For me, my prayer was definitely always that I would just honour Him in whatever situation I was. And for me, that was also my biggest fear. There's a lot of pressure from the secular world, obviously, to conform and to behave in the way that I behave. And for me, I suppose I was very aware going into that situation that I was His person in that place and I needed to honour that.
It got you into some controversy with the Dalai Lama and your refusal to call him His Holiness.
It did.
How do you reflect on that?
Yeah, I was actually unaware of how widespread that was going to be at the time, but it started with, once I realised that the common way of referring to Him was Your Holiness, I immediately felt uncomfortable. And ultimately, my allegiance is to God above anybody else. And so that was the thing, I suppose, that made me take a stand at that point. I didn't realise that the stand was going to be quite so well documented.
Yes.
But for me, again, it just came down to what is the right thing by God to do here, and that was what I felt was the right thing to do, and so that's what I did.
Kate, what have you learnt about food and cooking through the MasterChef experience? What are you thinking of taking home?
Oh, look, I have learnt so many skills, techniques, just even understanding about different types of food, the way in which to balance meals. My cooking has changed dramatically, and I'm so appreciative of all the opportunities that I've had, the people that I've been able to learn from, and it's actually impossible to explain how it's changed. It just has.
Yeah. A lot of people want to come to your place for dinner now.
Yes.
Tell us about your future plans for your B&B. I think you'll be probably booked out for months.
Yeah. Already had one person try and make a booking. It's like, it doesn't exist yet. The plan for the B&B has been something that's been in our thoughts for some years. Luke and I both see a B&B as something that is a way in which we can show hospitality, which we see as a biblical model to live by. So the plan is, I suppose, at this point in time, to just spend some hours trying to put together business plans and speak to people and get some experience and some knowledge in that area. And basically to be able to work out whether we can actually make this happen. It's been a dream and now does seem like a good time to try and make it happen. But obviously with a cookbook to write and a family to juggle and all the other things that go along with the MasterChef title, it's probably been pushed back a little bit.
Kate, timing is everything and I have every confidence it will be a soaring success.
Thank you.
With that publicity machine behind you. Kate Brax, we're honoured that you've joined us, spared the time on Open House. Congratulations, and we wish you all the very best for the future.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.